And good afternoon, Atlanta. This is Everything Atlanta, and if my voice sounds familiar, well, it should, because it is noon on a Tuesday, and this is Matt Gardner, one of your co-hosts, and join me as always is Mr. Danny Broadway. Danny?
Good afternoon, Matthew Gardner. How are you?
Well, you know, I can't complain. We have some new Super Bowl champions, buddy.
We do.
Another Manning.
Yes, we do. We do. And it's funny, you know, as he played the intro for the show, we got to hear the Chris Dolman interview we did, who was on the field for the coin toss.
He was down there.
So I thought that was neat to have a past radio talent be on the field for the coin toss at the Super Bowl.
That was neat. So my question to you, Danny, is what do you think Thanksgiving dinner is like at the Manning household? When they sit around the Thanksgiving table,
Well, number one, it's heavy hands. They say that the ring, you know, is what, 3.5 pounds or something?
I mean,
it's like, you know, pass the fork and you just kind of throw your hand over there and go for it.
I mean, imagine them sitting down and reminiscing about what they've accomplished as a family, just in general. I mean, my goodness, we got Super Bowl MVPs. We've got Pro Bowl MVPs. We've got NFL MVPs.
It's amazing what they've accomplished. What the father has been able to pass to the son. I can't imagine that can ever be copied again. To have a father and two of three sons, all wearing a Super Bowl ring at the same table.
I mean, that's just, because I know you probably follow Peyton, since you are a UT fanatic there. What is his outlook? I mean, what's the next 3 years of his life look like?
Well, I sent an email to him asking him to come to the Titans. I'm a Tennessee Titans fan.
That would be great.
And I would love to let him use my place in Nashville there for a couple of days and get settled in. But I'm having a feeling he's going to Washington, right? Is that the word?
I have no idea. I mean, you know, obviously he's probably got if he can get healthy, he's probably got a long, three or four or five more years to go.
Yeah, I would say too good and too, you know, manageable, which the problem is, you know, we've been just on manageable now for 5 years in Tennessee. You know, I'd love to have a passing quarterback like Atlanta has. I love watching the Falcons play. Yeah. I think they need some defensive components, and they'll be ready to go. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing Peyton. Peyton, if you need anything, just give me a call. I'll get you set up there.
We'll get
Nashville.
You down here on the radio show and help you a free agency.
Hey, if we can get Dolman, we can get Manning, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. Well, pretty excited about our show today. We're going to be talking about kind of all things tech in the business world. We are joined today by two gentlemen from a company just I guess down in Sandy Springs. Is that your address, guys, down there?
Yeah, down in Sandy Springs near Northside Hospital.
Okay. From Network One Consulting, we have David Gracie. David, say hello and welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we also have Mr. Tony Rushen. Tony, good morning, or afternoon, I guess, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Obviously, we're excited about what they have to offer, and we've done a lot of different shows here. And as our listeners know, Everything Atlanta is typically about Atlanta businesses and what they're trying to do, the trends that they're trying to follow and influence. And these guys really have grown a lot over the last 4 or 5 years, and really become an industry leader here in the Atlanta market. And I know that we're anxious to kind of get into what they do and some of the things that they service as far as business goes. So, David, I'll ask you, if you don't mind, just give us the 60 seconds, who you are, what you do, and, you know, kind of how you got here to, not to the show, but how you kind of got to be some of the industry.
What kind of car do you drive?
Yeah, exactly. So, David, if you could just kind of run through that for us real quick.
Sure, glad to. And we started, I started the company 14 years ago and was the only employee and had one client and literally working out of the basement of my house, and was doing exactly then what we're doing today, which is providing outsourced IT for the small and mid-sized businesses in Atlanta. And, you know, quickly my wife said, all right, enough of working out of the basement, get some space and
get out of the house.
Get out of here.
That's right.
And so I found some office space. And funny enough, as I was signing my lease, the real estate guy I was signing with asked what I did. And I said, well, I'm a technology consultant. And He said, well, do you know anything about ACT? And so I said, well, no, but I'm glad to take a look at it. And he became my second client. And,
oh, great.
And his firm, Neuberger Andes, is still a client of ours today.
Fantastic.
13 and a half years later. So, we're growing. And Tony joined us a little over 2 years ago as our VP of Sales and Marketing to really kind of ramp up new client onboarding and so forth. So after a very, very tough recession, it's getting fun again. And we're really seeing a lot of traction in the Atlanta market, particularly in law firms and private medical offices.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Well, Tony, I'll ask you, because there's a lot of IT solutions and opportunities in town, a lot. And I know you guys know it because you're out there competing with these guys on a daily basis. What in your mind, what are the – and we'll drill down to some of the more in-depth topics, but – from a surface level, what are those couple of points that just make you guys a little bit different that somebody should consider when trying to outsource their IT needs?
Yeah, and I did join 2 years ago and had the opportunity to join as a consultant first, and I really dug into, well, what makes Network One different? And to boil it down to, say, two of the biggest things we found. One is our engineers are senior guys. On average, they've had 14 years of experience in the industry, and they love people as much as they love technology. There's no substitute for that. When you're working with clients, they want someone that'll fix their problems, but they want a people person. Mm-hmm. And those senior guys can see things that rookies can't. And therefore, that leads me to the second thing that's a big differentiator, is we work with our clients and are really proactive with them. So, yeah, we're going to fix things when they break, but because of the nature of the caliber of the engineers we put on the accounts and some industry knowledge we have, which I know we'll talk about, we're able to bring our clients solutions and help them plan for the future and help them with technologies or at least ideas that might help them gain a competitive advantage.
And I think you're right about that because, you know, Danny and I are obviously in the world of the internet, and a lot of our clients and a lot of people we talk to, they come to us and say, hey, can you fix this problem? Can you solve my email problems and things like that? Because, you know, they figure since we're in the world of the internet, those are easy things to fix. And I think you nailed it on the head because you guys are proactive. You're in front of what a client would anticipate as a problem, and you're fixing it instead of having them pick up the phone and saying everything's down. You're more than just somebody to come in and just fix things. You're putting together strategies for these companies so they can be more efficient. And as we all know, when a business is more efficient, they tend to make a little bit more money. So for our listeners out there, I'm going to give you a website address that you can kind of follow along with us. It's www.networkoneconsulting.com. And the one is the numerical one, consulting.com. Their telephone number is 404-943-0800. And you'll be able to get a little bit more information about some of the specific services as we go a little bit further. So, you know, Danny and I, we hear this a lot. And people ask us, simply because we're in the world of the internet, Matt and Danny, what is the cloud? You know, and, you know, we look up in the sky and say, you know, it's partly cloudy today, and that's typically our answer. But, you know, we've heard a lot of definitions. Is it Google Docs? Is it things like Dropbox? Is it what? So I'm going to ask you guys. I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you, and David, I'll start with you. When you have to describe what the cloud is from a business application process, what is it?
Well, I'll actually back up a half a step from your question and tell you where the term originated from. And nerds like us will draw diagrams of computers, and part of the diagram would be the internet, which we affectionately represent as a cloud. And then we have various connecting points to that. So we, as a nerd community, began referring to it as cloud, and the marketers, the people who were selling cloud, quote unquote, services, really took that because it simplifies it and puts it in really layman's terms. Cloud computing is essentially computing that is done outside of your office on a computer or a network of computers that are usually not owned by you, and your data may reside on one or more of those computers. And so you go from a CapEx type of investment, from buying a box, a computer box, and sticking it in your closet,
right,
to a monthly service. So think Salesforce.com, which is a All you need is a web browser,
right.
And once you have it, all your data is in the cloud and it's there. So you're basically paying a monthly fee for a service to either host your data or somehow manage your data in a way that is good for your business, because you're out of the hardware business and you're turning things just to a monthly expense.
Well, let's tie this thing together, and let's pretend that we are a doctor's office, or we are a large midsize a lawyer's office. We're generating a lot of paperwork. We're generating a lot of things that we have to get our hands on quickly, whether it's medical records or things like that. How do you guys have a solution to provide somebody in the healthcare or the legal world a solution that is again makes them more efficient?
Well, cloud is part of that. Cloud is not the answer to all of those issues. About 3 or 4 years ago, cloud really began becoming the buzz of business communities and technology communities, and everyone thought it was just going to be a race to the cloud. Well, what's happened is the applications that law firms and medical practices use aren't quite ready for the cloud. The cloud is not quite secure enough in many ways. So we've really gone from a lot of hype around the cloud to, you know, where does the rubber meet the road?
So, and security is the biggest issue of the cloud.
Security is an issue of the cloud.
Yeah, so give me the cons. You know, I hear all the pros because it gets pushed so much. But what are those cons? You know, again, the accessibility of every document in my company, I can bring it up on my phone, literally in this room. What are the cons? What do we need to be? What do guys like Matt and I need to be watching for?
Sure. Well, for a business that maybe not be necessarily SEC regulated or HIPAA compliant, cloud is pretty easy. It's a slam dunk. You can keep your documents up there. Google Apps or Google Docs is a great example of
right.
a cloud-based application. You stick your stuff up there, and you and your staff have access to it. Personally, I have a bit of a problem with a company like Google that makes part of its company culture scanning content of email that you have on Gmail.
Right.
You know, your Gmail account is scanned for content, and so advertisements are posted
to know more
to
about you.
Well, I think it's really to help advertisers mm-hmm. to provide content that may be relevant to you.
Yeah.
And you know, our law firm clients who have to respect attorney-client privilege, they're going to be the last ones that want to go to a Google-type hosted
right.
solution like that. So where it makes sense, kind of the low-hanging fruit is of cloud is going to be email, but in a secure way. So a hosted Microsoft Exchange solution would be a good example of a robust, secure solution.
Gotcha.
Okay, so you know you've got, and we'll stay on the topic of healthcare and legal, because those are sensitive documents. You know, you don't want your deposition floating around there where people get their hands on it. So, what is your solution? You know, you said cloud was a part of it, but when you come in and work with these type of industries that there is sensitive documentation and things that need to be kept private, what is the protocol to set these people up?
Well, you look at what they've got. I mean, you know, first doing a technical assessment to see where they are, and then have a business discussion with them. I mean, I'm a business owner, and I'm usually talking to other business owners out there who are just trying to survive and grow their business and figure out the best way to do things. And so I try to bring solutions to the table that makes sense for them and listen to them about what their challenges are and make recommendations and really educate them on what's out there. I mean, we don't make money on whether you go with solution A or
right.
solution B. We just want to help you make the right decision for yourself, and then we'll help you implement that solution. So we really look at what you've got and then determine what the great,
what
the
you've
best
got,
next step.
Share budget. I mean, I guess that's something that's huge, because if you came in with something that would bury them, you've lost business. Not just them, of course, but I think that's the biggest thing, that a lot of the consultants come in and they kind of, hey, you need this, you need that, you need this. And I don't think they do it because I think they honestly see this ultimate super thing, and they never look across the table and say, oh, by the way, would this bury your company in 6 months? Mm-hmm. You know, again, I don't think they do it on purpose. I think they get excited, you know, and I think they forget to ask. And that's what Matt and I kind of try to pride ourselves on, is does this even fit into your budget business plan, not just your overall, you know? So I would think that's something you guys have to look at, right?
Absolutely, and that's really one of the things that excites me as a business owner, and one of the things that we do is we have a part of our company devoted to the business side of our client's business, mm-hmm. not just the technology. Yes, our engineers are, like Tony says, they're going to fix stuff when it breaks, and they're going to be proactive about things. But a lot of times, the engineers are in the day-to-day. You know, mm-hmm. they're taking care of day-to-day business, and they don't step back and think about the big picture. And so we have some of our engineers who are dedicated to do that so that they can sit down with our clients a couple times a year and just have that budget meeting. Hey, where's your business going? You know, ask those questions about how they're doing as a business.
Are you kind of assigned an engineer, or can, would you, you know, say we come on as account? Are we assigned one engineer, or do we work with multiple engineers depending on the project? Or how does that work? Because it sounds like you guys have some major talent. Is it kind of that builds a tight relationship, or you get to know multiple engineers in the company?
Sure. Our industry loves to pride itself on how we can fix things remotely and take care of things, sure. you know, when we're not on site. What we've done is a slightly different approach, and that is we've baked into all of our plans on-site visits for our engineers to take care of problems.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah, so our guys are, yes, we're fixing things, but we're forming a relationship with our clients.
Perfect.
So each one of our clients is going to have a primary engineer who handles 80% of their issues, whether it's on-site or remote. You know, he's the guy who has that.
Like, I might even end up with his cell phone as the relationship goes. That's what I love, is finding that piece where, you know, I can end up, hey, the world is falling apart, and I can still at least get a text to the guy, you know, that type, or girl, or whatever, you know, lady. So
there are not many girls in our industry.
They don't like to geek out with you. What are you talking about? Come on.
But you know, not only you know, are you going to have a cell phone, but we like to say, I was coming up with trying to think about taglines for a company, and nerds with a personality was one of that made the shortlist. But our guys are, you know, they're guys that we're smart technology wise, but we're guys that you're going to want to invite to your company Christmas party.
Right.
You know, we really are an extension of your team, and that's what we want to, you know, customer intimacy is really something we want to bake in.
And Tony, I'll ask you, you know, I think David said that outsourcing is kind of the mindset when it comes to incorporating you guys. You know, if a company is out there and they've got struggles or they've got growth that is facing them, you guys are typically, I mean, very similar to our business. It makes a lot more economical sense for a company to outsource their needs to us for several reasons. Number one, it's less expensive than hiring somebody in-house. Number two, you get a staff of people that live in this world every single day. So talk to us a little bit about that outsourcing mindset that your clients experience.
And I do think it has a lot of parallels to your business because of the expertise you bring your clients, that if they had it in-house, they probably couldn't attract that kind of expertise, or if they could, they couldn't keep them, right? And similarly, with the clients we serve, our sweet spot is really companies with 10 to 100 employees, and they're mainly law firms and medical practices, but they may have someone in-house that can fix desktop problems if they happen, or it's one of several hats that they wear. And what we do is we come on and might augment that person that's doing some things in-house, or some companies are growing and they want to take it off that person's plate because the IT stuff that person has to do is taking them away from getting more new accounts, or if they're a paralegal, it's, you know, billing more hours and helping the rainmaker attorney. So we really have either we're doing all of it for some clients, or we're augmenting and you know, playing a role back and forth with some internal resource that they have.
Okay. Let me throw another fictitious scenario at you to see how you guys would solve it. Let's say that there's a dentist office, you know, in town. They have, you know, 17 employees, and they've done it the old-fashioned way of folders and stamps and things that are non-traditional, at least in the world of technology goes. How would you work with this company? Would you go in and obviously provide you would provide a strategy, but they would need hardware, software, things to kind of get up to date. Are you a source for that, or how does it work for somebody that's kind of in the dark ages that you need to help usher into the technology era?
Well, there's not a lot of companies still in the dark ages, but there are some that are similar to what you've just outlined, and we support our clients on a monthly basis and take them, as David said, from wherever they are to where they're looking to be. Budget would be an active part of that conversation. And we would lay out to them how they can get, if their vision is to have everything online and maybe go paperless, for instance, we would lay out some recommendations. Here's the Cadillac version, here's the Volkswagen version, and guide them within their budget to the right solution. Now, how we're different maybe than other, and then we could acquire the hardware and software for them. If there were specialized applications, we could vet the marketplace and bring them a short list of solutions to do dental records management, for mm-hmm. instance, you know, those specific applications. We would act as their fractional chief information officer okay. in the whole realm of things to get them from nothing to, if their goal was paperless, and every step along the way in chunks that made sense for their business. So like Danny was saying, they don't go underwater while they're doing this.
Right. Well, let me throw a scenario that I'm familiar with, because as you may or may not know, Danny and I used to run a nationwide home improvement franchise license type business. And when the orders would come in from the field, you know, we had 70 some odd locations around the country. And when the orders to place the order for the materials to do the work would come in, it would come in via fax. Three people inside the office would take those faxes and manually input it into the manufacturer's software. And we worked with three or four different manufacturers. And that was very laborious, if you will, from the people having to sit there and there's errors. You know, instead of 36 inches, you typed in is 63, and all of a sudden something shows up and doesn't fit. We actually looked at some different solutions to get it fixed when the orders would come in. It would scan it, you know, OCR, I think was some of those terms that I learned along the way, and it would put it into their system. This was an $80,000 solution from several different companies that we were looking at. Is that a kind of solutions, you know, problem-solving strategy stuff that you guys could sit down with a company and work with?
Absolutely. We had a law firm client come to us the other day and said, hey, Tony, we want to coordinate documents to get into our document management system with our clients when we open a new case. And there's a lot of discovery going on, and they've got to send us a bunch of documents, and they don't remember to send them all right at once because, oh, they forgot to look at their home computer or whatever, and we might be, providing their defense in this case. And so they want a solution, a portal solution is what they said, so that their clients could put the documents somewhere. The attorney would be alerted that more documents are there, and then the attorney could do what they do with them and put them into the internal document management system and back and forth. And, you know, there's just a wealth of solutions out there, whether it's hosted in a cloud solution or whether it's behind the firewall internal to the law firm, and literally thousands of solutions out there. So their head was spinning, and they came to us and said, give us a short list. Here's our main criteria. It's got to be easy to use for our clients. It's got to be easy to use for our attorneys. It's got to be secure. And we don't care so much about how much it costs. So we went to work, and that was a small project for a ongoing client. And that's who we do projects for, is our ongoing monthly clients. And, you know, it took us, with the back and forth and a couple demonstrations and all of that, a total of 10 hours, you know, and we got it down to a short list of three, made some real solid recommendations to the client, and they're able to take action now. And then once they choose one, we'll implement it for them.
Yeah, it's just the expertise that you guys have and the years behind you and the people in your office that are smart. You know, I mean, that's kind of what Danny and I pride ourselves on, is there's a lot of business acumen inside of our office that when things come up, we've seen that, we've been there, and we can typically handle it for you. Danny and I were reading something a while back, and you and I actually were shocked at this statistic, that it was something like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if a disaster happened, flood, fire, major theft or something happened to the average small, medium-sized business, that 80% of them would not be back in business. And that just blew us away. So talk about disaster recovery. I mean, how does that work? What does that mean? Because, you know, fire breaks out, I don't want to have to go on the job market in this world, Danny. I don't know about you,
yeah,
but
right.
what does that mean to you guys, disaster recovery?
Well, disaster recovery is kind of like cloud. It's one of those things that means 100 different things to 100 different people. However, in our world, we're talking about specifically with technology. How do you protect your business if something happens? And it can be something, you know, a year ago when we had an ice storm. That shut down a number of businesses for 3, 4, 5 days. Mm-hmm. And to some businesses, that really was a costly week. You look at their P&Ls, and that's a big chunk. So how do you, let's take that as a great example of, okay, you know, our business is shut down for a period of days. How do we access that, our information, and how do we allow our employees to continue working? In that scenario, most folks had power at their house. Most folks had internet, but what would happen is they couldn't get into the office, and many of them didn't have remote access solutions. So one way to provide that is simply giving folks a remote access solution to their current data. Secondly, obviously, is protecting your data, making sure it's protected in the event of a disaster and that it's accessible fairly quickly. There's a whole spectrum of solutions out there, but what you have to keep in mind is typically the amount of time when a disaster happens, the amount of time that you need to be back up and running, there's an inverse proportion there. So as the number of hours to get back up and running increases, the cost of your solution decreases. Gotcha. So if the downtime has to be, you know, 1 minute,
right,
you're going to pay a lot of money for that solution. Whereas if it's something, you know, if you can wait a day or a few hours,
you're going to have some intelligence at that point kick in to monitor and convert. I mean, it wouldn't be even.
Right. Yeah. But again, it comes back to the budget. It's right. You know, there's not a right solution for every business.
Right.
So what we try to do, and again, I'm a small business owner helping other small business owners,
right,
and we're trying to figure out, okay, what in the marketplace of all the hundreds of solutions that are out there, what makes sense for our clients, what would make sense for our business ourselves? You know, what would we want to put in place, and what can we afford? What will the budget allow? Good news is that the technology is coming down in price. Mm-hmm. So the solutions are getting better. They're getting more reasonably priced for the small businesses. So now what used to be something that, you know, only Coca-Cola could afford,
right,
well, now your, you know, 50-person business can afford to have something that's reasonable and get you back up and running pretty quickly.
Who is that guy? And that's what I was going to ask you. Who is that guy who's sitting there right now listening to this and says, you know, I've always wanted an IT company. Am I ready? Can I afford it? I mean, what does he look like? Does he have 3 employees and 2 desktops, or is it 10 employees? And you know what's that place where you wouldn't think you could go, but now with those new opportunities and solutions, you can get started all the way up to, I'm sure you have clients with 1,000 desktops, you know, and that type thing, whatever. But who's that guy out there right now who's been dying for this, always thought he couldn't, and would be a great opportunity for you guys to engage with?
Yeah. So first of all, we don't have a client with thousands of users. We stay.
But you're looking for that guy.
No,
right?
We're actually IBM not. We're actually not. We stay very focused on Atlanta Metro only.
Okay.
And our smallest client is a couple people, mm-hmm, and our largest is 230. But most of our client, our average is 30 users.
Okay.
Okay. So every business, no matter the size, has an IT guy. My wife has a business she runs out of her home. We've got an IT guy that'll answer the phone, you know, right, and help her.
And feed the dog and take the trash out.
Right. And that's often how businesses start, is they'll start bartering with, right, you know, Cousin Joe or, right, Uncle Bob. And when they outgrow that person,
right,
they tend to know it. Mm-hmm. Bartering, for instance, if they started that way, typically has a response time issue, right? Right. Uncle Bob is only going to spend so much time and may not be available because he's at the beach this week.
Right.
If that becomes intolerant to the business, and it probably happens around 5 employees or so, they're past startup phase, they start looking for an IT company. And where we would show up is with a company that views IT as a strategic functional component of their business. It's not the purpose of their business. 80% of our clients are professional services firms of some kind. So their business is lawyering, their business is, you know, fixing people, medical physicians, or it's financial services. But they, all of our clients view IT as a strategic piece of the business so that they can make rain, so they can see more patients, so they can manage money more effectively.
Right.
So a smaller company, when they outgrow Uncle Bob, would just start saying, you know, I need better response time, or I need a better plan because this thing kind of came up and bit me last year without me knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
kind of on the other end of that spectrum would be a company that's maybe got 50 to 70 employees, and they have an in-house guy,
right.
And he's great, and they love him. But an opportunity comes along that he can't turn down.
And he's gone.
So they're now having to make the decision, okay, do I need to hire another guy? And what does that person look like? Well, unfortunately, you know, our industry is full of people who don't necessarily have the most experience, or it's kind of a bait and switch when you hire them,
right.
or maybe they're not a nerd with a personality, but they're just a nerd.
Right.
And that's tough to flesh out in an interview process. So there's a lot of risk if you hire, you know, if you have one guy, you got to hire him. You do it every 5 years. If as a business, you know, you decide, well, we can't provide that guy with a career path. You know, he comes on board here, he's going to manage 60 computers or whatever, he's either going to get bored.
And then you're going through that learning curve every 5 years, right? And what
exactly.
does that curve hurt, not hurt, but how does it not negatively affect the company for a guy to have to come in, learn everybody, learn the systems, learn, you know?
Well, and, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, too. I mean, you've
right.
got different ways to solve a lot of these technology problems, and if you have, you know, fairly decent turnover, you're going to have different guys with different perspectives. And,
right.
And we come at it as, you know, we don't write any code ourselves or build anything ourselves. We go to the market and find the number one or number two player in everything, you know, whether it's firewalls or servers or phones or whatever, and we're providing those solutions,
right.
market standard kind of thing, so that our clients are getting consistency. And,
right.
And again, that's when you make that decision, okay, do I hire another guy or do I outsource it and let the professionals come in and take over?
Yeah, I think that's a huge, I mean, our business with Yevser, I mean, that's huge for us. Do you bring a social media person in-house or do you hand that off, and can you trust that person? And, you know, I think that the long-term goal that we talk about is the same as yours, that you're going to have a system that's in place. It doesn't mean it can't be tweaked, but there's going to be a team of 10 instead of one behind it, so that if that one goes, you don't lose the entire strategy. The strategy continues, even if the players can change. The overall strategy is with an outsourced company, but the key to that conversation is, can you be trusted? You know, and that's one of the biggest parts of what we talk about, and I'm sure you have too, that we are going to be here and we can be trusted, and you know, especially the way we influence, but you guys too. I mean, you're handling something that could shut their company down, as you said, and whether it's a disaster or whatever. So yeah, that's a playground Matt and I have to play in too every day.
Well, yeah. I was just going to add to that, and I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he was asking me about, you know, he said, how do you guys get on page one on Google? And I was like, well, you know, we've partnered with a marketing company and handles all that.
Yeah.
And he's a small business owner and he's in real estate. And he was like, well, you know, I spent a bunch of time last, I didn't spend, I did it all myself. You know, I did it, and how do you get on page one? I said, I don't know, man. I know we're there. I know.
Call Matt.
I said, I'm glad to make an introduction, and it's been great because we're an IT company. We're not a marketing company, yet marketing is an important part of our business. And
right.
I mean, I believe in eating your own dog food. I mean, if we're preaching outsource your IT, well, what things can we do internally at Network One that we should be outsourcing?
Yeah. We're doing that. We do the same thing, obviously, with the CPA, but even the books. I mean, Matt and I don't need to be putting line items into QuickBooks, you know, and we, for a year, I sat there and watched Matt's eyes bleed trying to put things up. I go, I think it's time we cough up the $300-$400 a month and get the CPA support in here. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, but again, I understand the trust factor, but I think that outsourcing is done enough now, and that it can be in this economy of competition where if I brought a guy in to do my IT, number one, I can't pay a guy $60,000 a year to come handle it, so it's not even an option anyway. But
by the way, you don't want the $60,000.
Right. So, yeah, he probably stinks. So, you know, I can't imagine how businesses are able to not afford outsourcing in the competitive atmosphere in business today, you know. And so we fight that battle with you every day, and it's a fun one. I think everybody sees the value.
You know? Absolutely. So, you know, as you talk about IT, which obviously stands for information technology, you can't ignore things like smartphones, tablets, iPads, all these other things. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, what are your recommendations when you talk to your client base? And how does the world of mobile devices kind of influence what you guys are thinking about and doing?
Well, it's funny that, you know, for forever, the business community has all been about Microsoft Windows. And because all the software is written for it, all the business applications are on Microsoft Windows. And what started happening about 2 or 3 years ago was that, you know, business owners would come in, you know, after Christmas, and they'd have a new Mac or, you know, a new iPad or something. They hand it to our guys and they say, okay, make it work. And so that's how, you know, we've gotten pulled into the Mac world is that, you know, Macs are still great consumer devices, and they're trying, you know, to get integrated into the business community, and that's a slow process.
Yeah, especially with Flash.
Right. Well, yeah, you get the Flash problem.
Can we all get along here, you know? I mean, really? But no, I agree. You know, that's something that we deal with every day, and it's a nightmare of, hey, it doesn't fit Firefox. It doesn't fit, you know, whatever browser you're using, and making all those people play together is impossible. Yeah. But it's great, again, that they are able to just like with you guys, I can't get Microsoft to work with Apple. Well, I got a guy that I get to call to make that happen. I mean, that's invaluable. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, and it's it comes down to that application, right? If there's an iPad app that a doctor can use that helps them do telemedicine and work with an office across the state, then that's better patient care, and those tablets are going to get used. Or if there's an attorney that can do more effective litigation support because they've got an iPad in a courtroom, then that's going to be used. And we encourage it with our clients, and you know, we've built some industry expertise. And so, for instance, I follow, you know, 6 or 7 legal blogs that are doing reviews and staying legal IT blogs. And I'll shoot them out to my clients that I know are the litigators or the patent attorneys. I was just reading one this morning about a new app for patent attorneys. And, you know, all those things, if it helps an attorney in that case be a more effective attorney, meaning pay more attention to their client, could mean bill more hours for that attorney, could mean that particular attorney wants to go to the beach more and not do attorney so much. They want to do their same amount of work in less time. That's what we're all about, aligning with the client's goals, and mobility, be it smartphones or tablets, is becoming a huge component of that, and we see that as a continuing trend.
My last question for you guys and Danny and I kind of laugh about this. When we go in and meet with a new client or a potential new client, and they've either tried to set up a Facebook page, they've tried to set up a blog, they've tried to set, they make these common mistakes. And to us, they're funny. We silently laugh at them, and then we move forward with them. What are those things that you guys see? And I'm sure Danny and I probably do it wrong as well. I mean, are they not setting up passwords for their internet connection? Are they don't have a firewall? What are those basic things?
What are you
things?
Laughing?
Yeah, what are y'all laughing about?
Like, what are y'all tickling under the table right now? Look at Matt and Danny. They're using their phone to...
Right.
You know,
I mean, what are those?
What is the common mistake when they try to do it themselves that you see?
Well, the good news, I guess, is that most of our clients, because we work with them for so long, they know they can just pick up the phone and call us, and we'll do it for them. But, you know, some of the stories that are out there, I wouldn't say they're very common, but we do chuckle when something comes along is, you know, somebody will call you and say, hey, my email's not working. And so you start trying to work through the issue or whatever, and you come to find out the power's out in the building. You know?
Well, electricity is a minor part of that, right?
Right. You do need power to get your email.
So then you bring the generator in. There's your solution, right?
That's right.
Those are the easy ones.
And that mostly happens with when folks are at home. They don't, yeah. It's like, how many times do you walk in a room when your power's out and
right.
you still flip on the light? I mean, I do that 10
sure,
times every
right.
time. But, you know, there are various things. I mean, mobile is a huge thing now. So everybody's buying new phones on their own. You know, they're no longer company purchased assets. They're
right.
now things that people just buy on their own. And so they try to set them up and connect them to the office, email and that kind of thing. And they'll do something wrong or just not know what to do. So that's very common. But yeah, again, another very easy thing to fix for a guy who, like our guys, who know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, hey, you know, this is great information. Is there any parting words you would give to our dedicated audience here? I mean, anything that you would leave them with based on your knowledge and skills?
Just one thing I thought of earlier, David said, you know, our clients get that engineer that does 80% of their work, but that engineer is part of a 5-person team, so the client also gets backup. Because that engineer is going to be sick, he's going to get continuing education, he's going to go on vacation. And so for your listeners, if they've got a business of the size that that they want more consistent follow-up and responsiveness. They ought to look for a company that has great engineers, but then also contingencies or a team to back that engineer up.
Gotcha.
Well, good deal, good deal. Well, gentlemen, thank you again for your time. David Gracie and Tony Rushen, Network One Consulting. That is networkoneconsulting.com, 404-943-0800. Give them a call, and the first consultation is free, I assume, that they can call and just kind of say what they're up against and what they're looking to get accomplished, and I'm sure you guys would be very willing to help. So we appreciate you guys being on the show today, and was looking forward to this and a lot of good information out there.
Yeah, thanks a lot, really. We've been looking forward to kind of doing this show for a while because it's where we obviously play in, but I think there are 100 people for everyone in this room easy that are dealing with this and don't know that even at a couple of computers in a house or in a business in the corner that they're trying to get going, what you guys could come in and do and show them a picture of a better way and save them some money at the same time. So really appreciate your information today. And as always, this information is brought with the social media information of the day. Matt Gardner, is there anything that our world needs to know about social media today?
Well, we talked about it, and we'll elaborate a little bit about Google because we brought it up a couple times a day, and the old, got to get me on the first page of Google. We hear that a lot over at Yepser, as you could imagine, because the world of social media and the world of search have kind of started to intertwine with each other, and they somewhat go hand in hand. One thing I want the listeners to know is the days of a $200 to $300 a month SEO solution is just not out there anymore because that was made up of software, doing certain things and backlinking and going into forms and writing programs. And our friends over at Google and Yahoo and Bing and the so forth, they're a lot smarter and a lot more advanced than they were 2 or 3 years ago. So if you're fighting that fight and it's important to your business or to your endeavor to have a highly ranked website on a Google search, it comes down to, in this day and age, it comes down to people and it comes down to effort. You have to put a lot out there, and a person typically has to put a lot out there in order to get it recognized. If you try to use software to get things out there and to be noticed by Google, they know what you're trying to do, and they're not going to reward insincere effort. So you know that's a lot of our SEO strategy revolves around social media. Things like putting out tweets, things like writing blogs, having things and activity go on LinkedIn. And obviously, you can't ignore our friends over at Facebook, the world's most traffic website, 850 million users, which half of them log on a daily basis. And it's a combination of things like video and getting out PR releases and all of these. We describe it a lot like throwing marbles in a swimming pool that's half full. Eventually, enough marbles will go in and the water level will rise and it'll dump over. So the days of affordable, no-brainer SEO, the smoke and mirrors is kind of what we like to call it, just doesn't exist. And I'm glad it doesn't, because Google wants your experience to be a pleasant one when you use their search engine. When you're typing in red roses for Valentine's Day here next week, they want to take you to a site that is a sincere place for you to be able to go get your hands on a florist or be able to purchase flowers online, for example. They don't want it if you typed in red roses for you to go to a site that's in India about how to take care of your red roses. So Google is very adamant about making sure that sincere, good quality content is what populates that first page. So if anybody out there needs a little bit of help on trying to get your business there, that is something that obviously we provide. And we do about 80% of the heavy lifting through a social media campaign that we offer.
Fantastic, Matt. Well, thank you so much. And please don't forget to our listeners out there that this show and That Moment is brought to you by Yepser Internet Strategy. That's YEPSER.com. Please feel free to reach out, learn more about Yepser, call us, contact information, everything's there. And another great show, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're on a roll, man.
We are. I'll tell you. And I think we're booked all the way through mid-March. So yeah. If you would like to get your face down here on the radio, definitely reach out to us so we can start scheduling out the latter part of the spring. And Andy, anything else going on? You've been doing all right, buddy?
Man, I'm doing great. And you guys keep putting on such great shows. I just sit back here and take tons of notes so I can improve my own business. Yeah. It's like you guys are my own little private consultants.
That's
I love
right,
it.
Buddy. Well, I want to be your pet project. So
that's right.
If I
right.
get in on that. Well, that's fantastic. Well, again, Tony, David, we really appreciate you guys coming today. This has been fantastic. And Matt, why don't you sign us off?
All right, buddy. Well, as always, Atlanta, you don't know anything Atlanta until you've listened to Everything Atlanta every Tuesday at noon here on Business Radio X.